Colossians chapter number 1 this morning. Get back to our series on the book of the Colossians. Looking at what Christ wants for His church. We ought to be the kind of church that wants what Christ wants for us. Last two messages from this passage, we acknowledge that each of us have desires, things that we'd like to see, maybe in our church. But we said also that it's not our desires and goals that we ought to be concerned with. Much more, we ought to be concerned with Christ's desires and goals for our church. And we asked the question, what is Christ's desire for the church? And we're looking at the answer to that in this series. And he used the Apostle Paul to tell us that Christ desires that the church be filled with the knowledge of His will. There, verse number 9. Let's read it. Verse number 9. For this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to desire that ye may be filled with the knowledge of His will and all wisdom and spiritual understanding. Listen, God's not in trying to hide His will from you. He's into revealing His will to you. Problem is that most folks don't want to do the will of God. They don't want to find out the will of God because they think maybe the will of God might be something they don't want to do. But it's the place of greatest safety for you is to be in the center of God's will. So we ought to desire what Christ desires, that the church be filled with the knowledge of His will. We also look there in verse number 10 that Christ desires that the church walk worthy of the Lord. Verse 10. That ye might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing. And here's where we're going to be at this morning. Being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. Being fruitful in every good work. I want to preach on just that portion of the scripture. Christ desires that His church be fruitful in every good work. Well, first of all, we see as we break this down that Christ desires that the church be fruitful. Just makes sense, doesn't it? I mean, all the way back to the beginning, think about the word fruitful. The word fruitful means to be fertile, means to be very productive, producing fruit in abundance. Even back when God created man originally, in Genesis chapter 1:28, it says that God blessed them and said unto them, "Be fruitful and multiply." Now, I know he was talking about physically speaking. They were to do that, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth. And after the Lord destroyed the world by a flood, he had similar admonition to Noah and his family. Noah and his family came off the ark. In Genesis 9:1, it says, "And God blessed Noah and his sons and said unto them, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth." When the Lord called Abraham in Genesis 17:6, He told him, "I will make thee exceeding fruitful and will make nations of thee, and kings shall come out of thee." Our Lord and Savior is all about being fruitful, isn't He? When the Lord changed Jacob's name to Israel, He told him in Genesis 35:11, it says, "And God said unto him, I am God Almighty, be fruitful and multiply. A nation and a company of nations shall be of thee, and kings shall come out of thy loins." So, the work that God did in creation, He wanted His work to be fruitful. And when the Lord does a work, whether it was in creation or whether it's in our lives as individuals or as a family or as a church, He desires the same thing. He wants us to be fruitful. This is His church. Amen. Now, second thing I want to take a look at is the what or where of fruitfulness. And the what or where of fruitfulness is in every good work. Okay? It said, being fruitful in every good work. Now, let's break this down. I like to break things down, get them simple as possible, amen, because I'm kind of simple-minded anyway. I always liked for my pastor to break things down so that I could understand it. Even as a kid, sitting up under the Word of God, I liked him to breaking down the understanding so that even a little child could understand. First of all, we see the word "in." Okay? We're to be fruitful in every good work. In means we're to be actively involved. I mean, that makes sense, doesn't it? There will be no fruitfulness unless we are actively involved. We see this word every. Every means that there is more than one good work. Amen? If we're to be fruitful in every good work, well, if it's just one good work, he would say be fruitful in the good work. But he says in every good work. Every also means that there is not a good work that should be lacking in the church. God wants us as a church to be involved in every good work. Every good work. For something to be good, it has to be what? It has to be of God, doesn't it? That's really where the word good came from. It comes from the idea of God being good. And for something to be good, it has to be of God. So this is, we're talking about God's work. And then the word work. Okay? If you're to be fruitful in every good work, the word work means to toil or work. Something that takes effort on our part. I mean, that's simple to understand, isn't it? Many of us are willing for the church to get involved as long as it doesn't cost us anything. Sadly, but that's the way it is a lot of times. We don't want it to take any more of our time. Oh, preacher, I think we need to have this ministry. Well, how about you heading it up? Oh, no, no, no. You know, I want it done, but I don't have the time to be heading it up. Right? Or we don't want it taking more of our effort. Can I get you involved in that? You know, and no, no, no. I want somebody else to do it, but this is what I think we need to do as a church. And people don't want it to take any more of their money, you know. I don't know where some folks get the idea. There's a lot of folks who don't give to God's work, and yet they expect that the work is going to go on without them giving. It doesn't. Yeah, it takes folks giving, and those that can give little, to give the little, and those that can give a lot, to give the lot. Amen. But we are to be involved in every good work. What are some examples of fruit? Well, you know, when we think about the matter of being fruitful. Well, number one, when I think of fruit, I think of the fruit of the Spirit. Amen. Fruit of the Spirit. In Galatians 5, verse 22 and 23, it says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance, against such there is no law. So, one of the things that God desires in our life, and the reason why He gave us the Holy Spirit dwelling in our heart and life, is if we are filled with the Holy Spirit of God, then the Holy Spirit is going to manifest forth His fruit in our lives. Amen. It's not the fact that He just dwells within. You know? Him dwelling within is not going to bring forth that fruit. You being full of Him is going to bring out that fruit. We're to walk in the Spirit so that our lives exhibit the fruit of the Spirit. We only truly exhibit the fruit of the Spirit when we actually walk in the Spirit. If you're not walking in the Spirit, you're walking in the flesh. I mean, that's the only two possibilities that Paul gave there in Galatians chapter number 5. And he talked about the works of the flesh. And the works of the flesh is all the nasty stuff that we see in our world. Christians are not to be involved in that stuff. We're to be involved in the things that bring forth love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, and temperance. Amen. We're to be involved in the things that please God. I want you to take and flip back one page, and it is, at least it's one page in my Bible anyway. It might be more or less in yours. Philippians 1 and verse number 11. Not only are we to walk in the Spirit so that our lives exhibit the fruit of the Spirit, but we are to be filled with the fruits of righteousness. Look at Philippians 1:11. Look what it says. It says, being filled with the fruits of righteousness which are by Jesus Christ unto the glory and praise of God. And now I want you to grab a hold of that verse. Let's read it again. We're to be filled with the fruits of righteousness. Well, where does the fruits of righteousness come from? Well, who is the righteous one? It's Christ, isn't it? Whatever true righteousness that you exhibit this morning, you exhibit it because of Christ in your life. Any of your own personal righteousness is just like a bunch of filthy rags. And that goes the same. That's the same that's true within my life. But Christ working through our lives is what the Lord is wanting. And he says, being filled with the fruits of righteousness. In other words, righteousness working in your life is going to bring forth fruit. He says, those fruits are by Jesus Christ. He says, which are by Jesus Christ unto the glory and praise of God. When our lives exhibit the righteousness of Jesus Christ, God is glorified. That's what that verse is saying. I've said this before, and I'll remind you of it from time to time, because our memory gets... I forget what it gets. Does that make sense? Okay. God is only impressed by the righteousness of His dear Son, Jesus. He's not impressed with your righteousness. He's not impressed with my righteousness. Only the righteousness of Jesus Christ. He doesn't want our righteousness to shine forth in our lives, but rather He wants the righteousness of Jesus to shine forth through our lives. The fruits of righteousness in our life come from Christ being active in our life. One verse, Galatians 2:20. Paul said, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me, and the life with which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself for me. That's what that is talking about right there in that verse in Philippians 1:11. So the fruits of righteousness in our life come from Christ being active in our life. Another thing, we're to work that which is well-pleasing to Christ. Okay? And we're talking about fruit. We said we were walking in the Spirit so that our lives exhibit the fruit of the Spirit. We're to be filled with the fruits of righteousness, which is Christ's righteousness. Third thing, we're to work that which is well-pleasing to Christ. Look at Hebrews, the book of Hebrews, the very final chapter. Hebrews... I thought I had it marked here. There it is. Hebrews 13. Hebrews 13. And I want us to take a look at verse 20 and 21. Hebrews 13, very last chapter of Hebrews, and verse number 20. Look what it says. Now the God of peace that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you perfect in every good work to do His will, working in you that which is well-pleasing in His sight. So it's God working in us. God's working in us that which is well-pleasing in His sight. But how does He do it? Through Jesus Christ. There it is again. To whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. We are to work that which is well-pleasing to God. And what are some things that are well-pleasing to God? Well, we're to witness to others about Christ, aren't we? Jesus, before He left this earth, after he rose from the grave, He left some instructions to His disciples. And we know it as the Great Commission, don't we? And Matthew 28, verse 18 through 20, Mark 16, 15, Acts 1, 8, they all talk about how that we are to be witnesses. We're to be witnesses to others of Christ. That is a work that is well-pleasing to Christ. Not only are we to witness to others of Christ, we are to pray for others. James 5:16. Listen to what it says. Confess your faults one to another and pray one for another, that ye may be healed. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Pray one for another. And we are, as we saw in last Sunday evening's message, remember the area of Scripture where we're at, talking about the Good Samaritan. We were talking about how we are to not only love God, which we dealt with in the last Sunday morning, but we talked Sunday evening about how we're to love others. Amen? And we said we're to love our neighbors as ourselves. And several scriptures that lend itself to that is Galatians 5:14 that says, "For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself." James 2:8 also says, "If ye fulfill the royal law according to the scripture, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself, ye do well." You want to do well? Love your neighbor as yourself. Okay? Love God first. Love your neighbor as yourself. Listen, you can't love your neighbor as yourself if you don't first love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and everything about you. Amen. Romans 13:10 says, "Love worketh no ill to his neighbor, therefore love is the fulfilling of the law." Something else is, we are to do unto others as we would have them do unto us. We mentioned that last Sunday night also. In Matthew 7:12, "Therefore all things whatsoever ye would that men should do to you, do ye even so to them, for this is the law and the prophets." So we've seen the what or where of fruitfulness is in every good work. Now, let's talk about the how of fruitfulness. How do we become fruitful? Well, we've already mentioned it. Christ has got to live His life through our lives. Amen. If you're going to manifest His righteousness in your life, if you're going to be truly fruitful in the way that God wants you to be fruitful, then you got to abide in Christ, and Christ needs to abide in you. Can you guess where we're going to turn? John 15. Okay? Because that's where it's at. He talks about abiding in Christ, and Christ abiding in us. John 15. This is our Lord and Savior speaking here. Look at John 15. I want you to see verses 4 through 8 here. I know you're familiar with the verses. But you know, sometimes when you read verses that you've read over and over again, something just kind of jumps out at you. Yeah? You see something that in it, you see something in a way that you've not seen before. That's what we hope to do by looking at this once again. Because the how of fruitfulness comes from abiding in Christ. And we know here in John 15, he's talking about the Father being the husbandman and Christ being the true vine. And we are the branches in that vine. Well, how do the branches produce fruit? Well, they've got to abide in they got to abide in the vine. Christ is the vine. Look at verse 4. He says, "Abide in me, and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine. No more can ye, except ye abide in me." Listen, you're not going to be fruitful. You're not going to please the Lord. You're not going to be what God would have you to be if you're not abiding in the vine. If you're not abiding in Him and He's not abiding in you, there's no way to be fruitful in the things that please God. Look at verse 5. "I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me," Christ says here, He says, "and I in him, the same bringeth forth," there it is, "much fruit. For without me, ye can do nothing." See, the fruitfulness comes from Him. The fruitfulness comes from Christ. He says in verse 6, "If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch, withered, and men gather him, cast them in the fire, and they burn. If ye abide in me and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will do, and what ye shall ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you." Get it right there. Herein is my Father glorified. You want to glorify the Heavenly Father? Here it is. Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit. So shall ye be my disciples. As the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love. So, abiding in Christ, that's the how of fruitfulness. The how of fruitfulness also comes from what we've been studying for quite some time now in our Sunday evening services, 2 Peter chapter 1. Remember the chapter 1 that we dealt with and talked about how we need to be a seven-story Christian that's built on the foundation of faith. We're to add to our faith. We're talking about Christian maturity, aren't we? That's what 2 Peter is all about. The book of 2 Peter is all about growing in Christ. It's all about maturing in the faith. And the how of fruitfulness comes from adding to our faith. If you just get saved and you don't begin adding those things to your faith that are in 2 Peter 1, when he talks about it, beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, the patience godliness, and the godliness brotherly kindness, and the brotherly kindness charity. That's it. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful. Okay? You don't want to be barren and you want to be fruitful? Well, you've got to add to your faith. Be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Look at 2 Corinthians 9. 2 Corinthians 9. Another how of fruitfulness. Not only comes from abiding in Christ, as we saw in John 15, verses 4 through 8, and growing in Christ, in 2 Peter 1, verses 3 through 9, but the how of fruitfulness also comes from grace from Christ. Okay? It's by grace. We've seen in the book of Colossians how that we're to walk in the same way that we were saved. How were we saved? By grace through faith. Amen? How are we to walk? We're to walk by grace through faith. We're to walk in the same way that we got saved. And here in 2 Corinthians 9, verse number 8, look at what it says here. And God is able to make, circle that word, all. Which grace? All grace. What grace do you need? It doesn't matter. All grace. What do you need at this time? God knows what you need, and He's able to make all grace abound toward you, that ye, look at this, that ye always having all sufficiency in all things, that's a lot of alls, ain't it? Ye having all sufficiency in all things may abound to every good work. You abound in the good work. When we live the Christ life by grace through faith, our lives remain fruitful. Now, lastly, I want us to look at the why of fruitfulness. The why of fruitfulness is twofold. And we've seen it already in the verses that we led. Number one, because it brings glory to God. Why are we to be fruitful? We've been commanded to be fruitful. And when we are fruitful, God's glorified. In fact, that's what Jesus said, in John 15, 8. Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit, so shall ye be my disciples. Jesus said in the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew 5, 16, He said, let your light so shine before men, that they may see your good works. Can you finish out that verse? And glorify your Father which is in heaven. See? We're to do good works. Folks are to see our good works. Not that they pat us on the back. They said, you know, that guy claims to be a Christian and he's living like a Christian. Yeah? And he must really have God in his life. Not only that, but listen, we are to be fruitful because we have been ordained to it. That's the why. Because we've been ordained to it. One last passage I want you to turn to, and that is the book of Ephesians, chapter number 2. Book of Ephesians, chapter number 2. There where we were reading in John 15 about abiding in Christ, if we'd read further on down, Jesus told His disciples there in John 15, 16, He says, "You have not chosen Me, but I have chosen you and ordained you that ye should go and bring forth fruit." Hey, we've been ordained to bring forth fruit. "And that your fruit should remain, that whatsoever ye shall ask of the Father in My name, He may give it to you." But here in Ephesians 2, look at verse 8. We're familiar with this. Most of you can probably quote it. "For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." And here it is, verse 10. "For we are His workmanship." Whose workmanship? God's. We're God's workmanship. "Created in Christ Jesus," amen, "unto good works." There it is right there. That's the why. "Which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them." God's ordained that in your life, if you're saved by His grace, you are to walk in His fruitfulness. We've been ordained to fruitfulness. What is Christ's desire for His church? Well, Christ desires that His church be filled with the knowledge of His will. Amen. Christ desires that His church walk worthy of the Lord. And now we've seen Christ desires that His church be fruitful in every good work. Let me ask a question. Are you fruitful in your Christian life? For God's church to be fruitful, it takes each member doing their part. Number one, you got to be in the work. And that takes being born again. Listen, if you're not born again, don't expect to be fruitful. You can't be. Something that's dead cannot bear fruit. You just can't. You take a dead peach tree, a dead apple tree, a dead pecan tree, they're all useless. They're worthless. Why? They can't bring forth fruit. What do they need in order to bring fruit? They got to be alive. Who makes us alive? Christ made us alive through the blood that He shed on the cross of Calvary. Our faith in Him. "For by grace are you saved through faith." But once we are saved, it's not, "Well, praise God, I'm on my way going to heaven. I can just sit down and do nothing now." No, 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 no. We've been ordained to bring forth fruit. Get fruitful in your Christian walk. If you're not saved, come to know the Lord Jesus Christ today. Let's bow in prayer. Father, we thank You for the time that we spent in the Word this morning. Lord, we just pray that You might take these words and, Lord, help us apply them to our hearts and lives, realizing that Your will for us as Your children is for us to be fruitful, spiritually speaking. We're to be fruitful in our lives. We're to walk in the Spirit, not in the flesh. We're to allow, we're to abide in Christ and let Him abide in us, that we might be fruitful, that we might glorify You, that we would bring forth that pleases You. Lord, we've been ordained to it. Help us to see these simple truths this morning. And Lord, help us, if we're not fruitful, to do what is necessary to get fruitful in our walk with You. Have Your will in this invitation, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand with heads bowed, eyes closed. Play Hymn of Invitation if you need to come this morning.